The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 28th chapter. After the Sabbath, as the first day of the week was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descending from heaven came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothing white as snow. For fear of him, the guards shook and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid. I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has been raised, as he said. Come, see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, 'He has been raised from the dead, and indeed he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him. This is my message for you.'" So they left the tomb quickly with fear and great joy and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them and said, "Greetings." And they came to him, took hold of his feet and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me." The Gospel of the Lord. Every Easter, we say, "He is risen indeed." What does this mean? It's a scene from the television show The Walking Dead. Herschel Green, a Georgia farmer and devout Christian, tells the small group with him that he's going to defend his home from a herd of walkers. A group of zombies. Here's the dialogue. Herschel: "You can go if you want." Daryl: "You gonna take them all?" Herschel: "We have guns and we have cars." Andrea: Herschel cocks a gun. "Kill as many as we can, and we'll use the cars to lead the rest of them off the farm." "Are you serious?" a member of the same group asks him. "This is my farm," Herschel replies. "I'll die here." "Why, you're a man of God. Have some faith," another member of the group says, to which Herschel replies, "I can't profess to understand God's plan, but Christ promised the resurrection of the dead. I just thought he had something a little different in mind." Something a little different in mind. Probably most of us resuscitation of Jesus' body. Granted, he's a little cleaned up and he gets a new white Lutheran alb, but otherwise, he looks exactly the same. Like Lazarus, he is no different than he was before he died. Today's account of the resurrection in Matthew's gospel, quite honestly, doesn't help. Matthew not only tells us that Jesus' tomb is empty, that he's been raised from the dead, he also says that his followers will be able to see him in Galilee. And as verse 9 indicates, that he has a tangible physical body, a human body complete with feet. Not only that, but what does Jesus tell Mary Magdalene and the other Mary when he meets them? After he says, oddly, "Greetings," he then says, "Do not be afraid." So now we have a physical resuscitation of Jesus' corpse that scares people. I'd say we have a pretty good contender here for The Walking Dead. Wouldn't you? Jesus, thankfully, may not eat people, but he scares them. Indeed, his appearance seems to alarm even his closest followers. Now, there are a lot of reasons for why some people have stopped going to church. and most of them are probably cultural rather than theological or intellectual. But wow, what a pill to swallow. If I was told, as an educated, scientifically informed person, that in order to be Christian, I had to believe in the zombie Jesus or in the walking dead, then I too might stop coming to church. Or I'd at least have serious reservations as a matter of intellectual integrity and honesty about identifying as a Christian. Obviously, I recognize that there are other Christians, including Mel Gibson, who have no problem believing that the resurrection was merely the resuscitation or reanimation of Jesus' corpse, that you have to take it on faith, as they say. But when we reduce the New Testament accounts of the resurrection to dogma about how an almighty God can resuscitate a cadaver, we not only trivialize what the resurrection was, we also ignore the fact that the early followers of Jesus experienced his resurrection in a variety of ways. And these ways were so moving and so profound that the early followers of Jesus were willing to die for what they experienced. So what was the resurrection, if not merely a one-man zombie apocalypse? As it turns out, the New Testament offers not one, but at least four views of the resurrection, four ways of depicting how Jesus as the Christ survived death, not one of which merely involves the resuscitation of his corpse. These four ways are the transformational, the apparitional, the communal, and the personal. Let's take a look at each of them very briefly. We'll start with the transformational. Whatever the resurrection was, this view says, something happened to Jesus' body, something that changed it. Yes, it was still tangible. It had physical characteristics. But as the Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15, it was transformed. This is why, in John's account, Mary, the first to encounter the risen Christ, doesn't recognize him. She mistakes him for whom? The gardener. This may also be why Jesus tells Mary and the other Mary in today's... How would you like to be identified as the other Mary, by the way? I think that's so unfair. This may also be why Jesus tells Mary and the other Mary in today's gospel not to be afraid, a phrase that is otherwise spoken only to angels in the Bible, not to human beings. Something has happened to Jesus that transformed his body and made him what the Apostle Paul calls a new creation. This is why Paul and Jesus in John's gospel compare the resurrection to a seed that goes into the ground and dies only to rise as something else. Hence the words of the Apostle Paul. Lo, I tell you a mystery, he says, you will all be changed. Such is the traditional and indeed transformational view, the only view in the New Testament to speak of Jesus this way. Basically, what this view says is that Jesus' resurrection, whatever it was not merely a zombie apocalypse or the zombification of Jesus' body. But the traditional view or transformational view is not the only view in the New Testament, nor is it the oldest. That view belongs to our second category, the apparitional. So what is an apparition? Most dictionaries offer two definitions. An apparition is either a supernatural appearance of a person or a thing like a ghost, something I've experienced occasionally in the parsonage. On the other hand, more on that later, on the other hand, it can be anything that appears, especially something remarkable. And guess what? The Apostle Paul, the earliest writer of the New Testament, says that Jesus appeared to a series of people, including Peter, 500 people at once, and finally to Paul himself. Paul uses the Greek word apthe, this is fascinating, which means appeared or became manifest. It's where we get the word ophthalmologist, which refers to vision. So Paul, consistent with what we read about him in the book of Acts, had a vision where Jesus appears to him, an appearance that causes Paul to go temporarily blind. Indeed, he never even speaks of an empty tomb. For Paul, therefore, the resurrection was a vision, a non-physical manifestation of Jesus. After all, as Paul says, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Beyond the transformational and the apparitional, we have still another view, a third view or experience of the resurrection in the New Testament. It's the communal, and this is my favorite. In Matthew 18:20, Jesus says, "When two or more gather in his name, there he is." The communal view refers, therefore, to the spiritual presence of Jesus that survived as the community that grew out of his death. We are the resurrection. We are Christ's body, especially, as Luke confirms, when we share in the Lord's Supper and break bread together in his name. Think about it. When Jesus appears to Paul in the book of Acts, he says, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" Well, who was Saul persecuting? He was persecuting believers, the church, the community that grew out of Christ's death. A community that proves by its Christ-inspired love for one another that Jesus was not defeated by death or the grave, but lives on through us as we gather, congregate, and serve in his name. Christ, in short, was reborn or remembered as the church, the body of Christ that came out of his death. I don't know about you, but I find that fascinating. We have one more view. Aside from the transformational, the apparitional, and the communal, we also have the personal. Have you ever had an experience of feeling empowered to stand up in the face of injustice? To persevere in the face of loss, tragedy, or hardship, to go on in the face of difficulty, even as the temptation looms to give up, only then to look back after the experience and ask yourself, how did I ever make it through that? For early Christians like Paul, this experience was one of Christ being reborn in you as the power that empowers you to press on in the face of hardship, in the face of loss, and in the face of tragedy. It's the source of our ability to say yes to life when life says no to us. And the Apostle Paul writes about this experience of the resurrection beautifully. He says, "I can do all things through Christ, through him who strengthens me." And for Paul, all things meant serious difficulties. "I was afflicted," he says, "but not crushed. Perplexed," he says, "but not driven to despair. Persecuted," he says, "but not forsaken. Struck down," he writes, "but not destroyed. Here, the resurrection is not something you believe, it's something you experience. It was the presence of the risen Christ in Paul that empowered him to go on without giving up. You see, it turns out that Herschel Green might have been on to something. Jesus, when he spoke of the resurrection, or when his early followers experienced his risen presence in a variety of ways, probably did have something in mind other than a zombie apocalypse. And that's my point, my message to you this morning. The resurrection, whatever it was so much more than the resuscitation of a corpse. Yes, some of his followers spoke of the risen Christ in physical terms, but even in those instances, there was something different about him. He was, as Paul says, changed, transformed. Many other followers spoke of the resurrection in other ways, as visions, or more profoundly still, as a presence that became manifest among people when they gathered together in Christ's name. Still others spoke of his empowering presence within them as they faced unbelievable persecution, enabling them to persevere, to go on. These views don't require you to check your brain at the church door. Instead, they invite you, as the Nicene Creed says, to look for the resurrection in your own lives. Over the next few Sundays, and I invite you back to hear these, we'll be talking about each of these views in greater detail to explore how we can experience the risen Christ in our personal lives and in our life together as a congregation. But for now, I leave you with this single question. Which of these four views, the transformational, the apparitional, the communal, or the personal, which of these four views speaks to you? Pick one, and then look for it. For today, Christ lives on in a variety of ways. Death could not defeat him, and you are the proof of that. He is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Amen.